Praise the Lord. An amazing grace it is. Anybody in here feel deserving of the grace of God? Good night. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We have to be able to worship God and honor God. It keeps perspective. It reminds us who we are in relation to who He is. Amen? He's a big and great and mighty God, but yet He comes down to our level. He manifests Himself in the flesh as man, in the person of Jesus Christ, and He brings redemption unto us by pouring out His blood, by allowing Himself to be nailed upon the cross. What a vicious death the man died. But what great goodness we have reaped as the benefits. That's why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. I want y'all to... It was me to put Tyler up there on the drums. And I want to thank Tyler for coming to me. I thank the world of Tyler. Tyler, amen. And I know he felt embarrassed, and I know he's probably, you know, red in the face and all that other stuff. But he took the initiative to go up there. I asked him to do it, and he listened, and he went up there, and he tried it. And he made some mistakes, and he stopped playing and everything. But that's how you learn, you know. I want him to break that nervousness, you know, that anxiety. He keeps telling you, no, not this time, no, next time. No, not this time, no, next time. No, not this time, maybe next time. And I broke that today, and he got up there. And now you'll see him get better and get better. And that's what I want.
Hey, years ago, you know, I played guitar. And he said, well, come on up. And he tried a few times, and what's happening? And now I can't do it. Now look at him. He's singing, man.
Praise the Lord. So I want y'all to encourage the young man for doing what he did. And even though he might have been messing up some of y'all's worship, you might have felt messed up. But actually, I was going to do something. I'm not going to do it, though. I was going to bring my son up here and tell him to play the drums for y'all. Because the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, using the cymbal, the string instrument. And I don't know if you know what a joyful noise sounds like for everybody. I mean, for you, it might sound real coordinated and real good and on key. But to my son, if I get him up here and tell him, beat them drums, it's not going to sound that good to y'all. But you guys are going to know that he's playing his heart out and he's having a good time doing it. You know, we don't always sound as good as we might want to sound when we're singing it. But when it's coming from the heart, that's important. That's key. So you don't ever want to discourage somebody from worshiping or playing an instrument or music or doing anything that they're trying to do for the Lord, because they're doing it out of the condition of their heart. They love God. And we should all have a condition in our heart that says, I love God and I want to do something for Him. Amen? Today we have a hope. We have a hope. We have a living hope today. We're going to talk a little bit about that in Psalm 67, if you would, Dana. I just want to read this scripture off. This psalm's a lot shorter than the last psalm I read to you guys. Praise the Lord. But I like a pre-reading, something that ushers us into where we're going, where the Holy Ghost wants to take us, what the Lord has been impressing upon my heart. You know, when I sit and I tell you, I have a hard time oftentimes preparing for church services, you know, because just bearing the responsibility, you know, and coming up and standing before you guys, it's difficult because you want God to have His way entirely, and having everything, you know, down packed is just, for somebody like myself, it's very complicated. It's very complicated. So I have to wing it oftentimes. I have to just show Lord. I go and I study, and I know that God has put the word down in me, and I know that the Holy Ghost is prepared to move, and I just have to let go and let Him, right? And that's exactly what I do oftentimes when I get up here. So, you know, if it doesn't all the way come out clear and all the way, you know, blame God, because He's the one talking. No, I'm kidding. Don't blame God for that. He's infallible. Praise the Lord. Psalm 67, verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. That was a prayer of blessing that the Levites, the Levitical priesthood, would pray. It was part of it, a portion of it, that they would pray over the people when they would come and they would do sacrifice. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Said I, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. That I like verse 2, and I want to speak on that for a moment. Because of what it says, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. We naturally acquaint health with the condition of our physical nature. You know, whether or not I feel good, you know, that I'm not walking around and burdened with bronchitis or the flu or something of that nature, or a limp leg, or, you know, my muscles failing or something. You know, that's what we naturally acquaint health with. But when he's talking about health in this, thy saving health, he's talking about the overall value of life of an individual. He's talking about your overall standings. He's not just talking about your health. He's talking about your condition as an individual and your state as a person. You know, he wants you to be prosperous in health. He wants you to be the Bible says in the passage, the quote that pastor often quotes, excuse me, the scripture the pastor often quotes, I would that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, in the book of 2 John, I believe, or 3 John, one of the two. And that's the will of God, that we prosper as an individual. I'm just not talking about financially, because oftentimes we get sidetracked and we totally involve ourselves with all of the material and the temporal things that this life have to offer. God just wants us to prosper financially. That's not entirely true, obviously. God just wants us to prosper in health. That's not entirely true in and of itself. God wants us to live the fullness of life. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Fullness of life. Fullness of life. God wants us, listen, think about that. If you don't have peace, it doesn't matter how much money you have, does it? If you don't have a sense of joy, what does your good health do for you? You know, if there's no joy, if there's no peace, if you're bound by fear, what good is the money? What good is the materials doing to you? You know, people that fear are so bound and so restricted in their lives that they can't even enjoy the pleasures of this life, because they have this wall up that's always got them concerned and worried, looking over their shoulders. You got people that are that have all types of different phobias. That can't be around. That some people that are so restricted that they wear masks over their face because they feel like they're going to breathe something that's going to kill them. These are bindings and restrictions of the enemy. This is Satan at his finest, working very hard and binding people in their way so that they can't be free, so that they can't live life, so that they can't worship God and be free to worship God the way that God created them to worship and to be free. You know, that's why I love that song. That song is a celebration of my freedom when I sing that song. I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free. I'm no longer bound. Got no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. Come on. You got to think about that. I mean, we're free in Christ. Today we're free because of what Christ has done at the cross. We have this freedom. We have this liberty. Talk about the saving health. That's the overall value of your life. God wants us to know who he is. God wants us to know his way, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations, amongst all people, that nobody would be restricted and be withheld from knowing that information. God wants everybody to know it. We restrict it. We restrict it because we don't value necessarily what we have to the extent by which we express it openly. See, my freedom, I value my freedom so much that I openly talk about it. People openly see it. And I thank God, and I don't boast in myself, but I thank God that there are people that recognize my walk, and even from far distances. I got an old friend that lives all the way in Texas now, and all he sees is Facebook posts and stuff like that. He doesn't know me from anything else in regards to that, except from the past. And he sees posts, and he sees things that that are posted about me, or you know, and these things from my Facebook page. And he sends me a message. He says, "God, I just want to stop by and tell you Chris, I just want to stop by and tell you that I really, you know, like the change that I see, and you're really a man of Christ," and things of that nature. But he's not walking right before the Lord to say that. But nonetheless, he says that. That's positive to me. That's good to me that somebody somewhere is being impacted by my walk and by my faith. We want people to be impacted by our walks and by our faith, but there's so many people restricted and bound. There's so many people lacking hope, and there's so many people that just don't have that insight, just don't have that knowledge and that information that is so vital to us being free, knowing that we have a hope. Why do we have a hope, church? Why do we have a hope? You know why we have? Huh? Because of Jesus. God raised him from the dead, church. He raised him from the dead. Resurrection power. See, in most of our hopes, you think about it, if you have hope, there might be a young man out there who has hopes that a young lady is going to like him. That's temporal. There might be a young man out there that has hopes that he's going to get a certain job. That's temporal. There might be an elder couple that's hopeful of a health care kicking in for them. That's temporal. You know, there's a lot of things that we set our temporal hopes in. There's hopes that I might be able to afford a new car this year, you know, because my car is getting old, or it's getting, you know, it's breaking down or something. That's hopeful, but that's temporal. And a lot of our hopes that we have presently, they end at the grave. They can't go no further than the grave. You can get by with them for a little while, but in due time, that hope is going to wane away, and something else is going to have to fill its place. But we have an eternal hope that motivates us. We have an eternal hope. Look what the scripture says in verse 3. It says, "Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee." In verse 4, "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth." The establishment of the kingdom of the Almighty God, that is hope. That is what motivates. That's what drives us. Look, I'm going to look in the book of Ephesians, if y'all would. I believe it's chapter 2. While I'm speaking about hope, there's a lot of people out there that are hoping that they'll be able to catch that Super Bowl game tonight. Last winter, I was putting power back for people's houses. The snow was, do you guys remember how much snow was on the ground last winter during the Super Bowl time? And these folks' power was out. Let me tell you how mad these folks were about their power being out and the Super Bowl is about to come on. Telling us we need to buy them, to provide them generators and all kinds of stuff. They were uptight. A secular holy day. Yeah, they can say, listen, do you know that the Super Bowl is the second day to Thanksgiving for the most consumed food? That's an interesting fact, isn't it? Do you know that the average ticket price of a Super Bowl ticket is $54 or $4,800 or something like that? The average ticket price. Do you know the most somebody will pay to go to the Super Bowl for a ticket? Or it's supposed to, let's say that, before it's scalped and sold to somebody else for more. Probably 50-yard line, front row, $16,500 for that ticket? $16,000? God bless you, brothers and sisters, to come here and meet with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's free. Amen. It's free. Amen. To come here and meet Jesus, who can meet all your needs, is free. To the one who will set your soul aright, to the one who will heal you, to the one who will deliver you, to the one who will strengthen you, to the one who will give you peace that beyond all understanding, to the one who make your circumstances turn around that the enemy is trying to destroy you with and turn them around and bless you with. Jesus, it's free.
Thank you.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. We are. It is our responsibility. Not as it only our responsibility to pray, but it's our responsibility to have our priorities right. Let me ask you something. If the Super Bowl was supposed to be played at 12 o'clock, which is 10 minutes from now, how many of y'all would be here right now? Y'all don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to know whether yay or nay. Because somebody might be lying to me anyway, and I don't want to see a hand. You be lying, and God say, you lying. I don't want that. I don't want that. But I'm just asking, just in general, and if the people behind the pulpit, the pastors and the teachers, if they ask that question to the masses of the churches, they know. They know that a large portion of the church would be empty. They would have to have a Super Bowl party in order to get them into church. They would have to. And I know churches that do that. And if they want to do that, that's up to them. I'm neither here nor there with that. You know, if it's not on church time or whatever, if it's not during a service, you're going to cancel a service where you would worship and honor God in order to watch a football game. Well, you know what? I personally think you got to work on your relationship with God. I think there's something wrong. There's something's out of priority, out of its place. But listen, getting back to where we were going, we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have a hope. These people that have a hope of making it to the Super Bowl might die and never get that hope fulfilled. And I don't know what that'll do for them. But if they die without the hope of Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection, I do know what that'll do for them. That'll get them an eternal place where they don't want to be. That'll get them destruction. That'll get them weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That'll give them, that'll get them a smoke of torment that rises and never is quenched. And that's what we're concerned about. That's what God is concerned about. God isn't concerned about who wins that football game. God's concerned about the souls that are in that football game. God's concerned about the souls that are in that stadium watching that game. You know, last year they had 111 million people watching the Super Bowl. Broke the record. And I know some of y'all be amazed at what number two was. The last closing episode of MASH. And I'm assuming that's in ratio in regards to how many people had access to televisions and everything, but that's amazing, right? MASH. But you see where the attention, look at the attention that's devoted to that. How about getting 111 million people focused on worshiping the Lord, focused on honoring God, focusing on one program that is ministering the truth and the gospel? Picture that. Picture the power of God in that scenario, in that situation. A people that have hope, church. Thank God today that we're a people that have hope. There's a lot of people who have temporal hopes, and those hopes are dashed. I hope that I meet this person. I hope that someday, how many people died wanting to meet Elvis? That hope was dashed in pieces when he died very young. And they're still celebrating his birthday at Graceland. How long has he been dead? Somebody knows. He died in 77? He died the year I was born. 34. I'm 34 years old. She mourned for two. She missed two whole years because... Praise God for PJ. But you see, and the hopes dashed. But that didn't stop life, and that didn't stop at that point. They had to go on. You know, these hopes, these temporal hopes, they get dashed, and we got to move on. But if the hope that was laid at the cross that came out of the tomb is disregarded for all of your life here as this time as being a stranger and a pilgrim and passing through, you've missed the mark. You've missed the only opportunity that you'll ever get. And God doesn't want anybody to miss the opportunity. He wants us all to be free in Christ. In chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, starting at verse 19, and actually I'll go back to 18. Praise the Lord, she has it up there. It says, "The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead." That is what we have today to drive us, to motivate us into tomorrow. You know, the resurrection of the dead is what gives me hope every day that I wake up. It's what gives me peace. My circumstances change all the time. Sometimes things are good, sometimes things are bad, but the resurrection is always my hope. It's always my driving force. I look forward to the resurrection. I look forward to Christ's return. I look forward to the kingdom that will be established forever and all of eternity. I right now believe that I am a member and a part of the greatest kingdom that will ever be. I feel good about that. I feel good about that. I feel strong about that. I feel confident in that. It makes me feel good about myself, of who I am as an individual. And you know what? That expression, it bleeds out into your lives. How I feel about my life bleeds off into your lives. If I feel miserable, guess what I'm going to do to your life? Make you feel miserable when you're around me. Ain't I? That guy's always complaining. He always got something to complain. The power of the resurrection is not manifesting itself in my life. The power of newness of life is not manifesting itself in my life. Man, Monday morning, Doug used to say, praise God it's Monday. You know, that's right, PGIM, praise God it's Monday. People come into work, my boss, hey boss, good morning. Ain't nothing good about it. And then a bunch of grumpy people, first day of the week. Doug comes in, praise God, it's Monday. I come in singing a song for the Lord. You know, and praise God. You know, you got, they just want to sleep in. And, you know, they're missing hours. They didn't go to sleep till 3 in the morning. That's your fault. You knew you had to wake up in the morning. You're grown. You want that paycheck. You'll be there. Miserable or not, I guess, right? But I ain't gonna let you make me miserable, because I got the joy and the hope of the resurrection. I got the joy and the hope of Jesus Christ in my life. I'm looking forward to a glorious day ahead. Praise God. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That which is to come. Today I have hope. Today I have saving health in my life. God has given me this newness. God has raised me up. I have laid down my life. The old man is dead, crucified with Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new, and all things are of God now. Look, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would, Dana. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know what that's telling me? That everybody that's putting their hopes in a temporal hope that only lasts for today and only goes as far as the grave, they're miserable. Because at some point in time it has to die. That hope does not live on. That hope is going to be quenched. In due time and in due season, that hope is going to come to naught. It's going to come to nothing. There's no longer an opportunity for that. That's like meeting Elvis. That opportunity's gone. Unless he is in glory, and I'm not going to judge one with another because I didn't know the man, nor did I know, you know, I know he died before his time. That wasn't good, but, or at least to what we assume is our time. But that hope is dashed in pieces. But there's a hope to meet a better person. There's a hope to meet one that loved you even more. There's a hope to meet the one who gave his all for you. That gave his life for you. That bled on Calvary's cross. There's a hope to meet the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The greatest person that ever walked the earth. Jesus Christ. You want to talk about hope? You want to talk about motivation? I'm driven. I'm motivated. I look forward to that. I'm not a person that likes to, you know, credit people with their great successes and status. Okay, that's good. That's a good thing you did, you know, and I hope you're doing right with it. But I'm not the type of person to just be amazed at you and all that you do. I just don't do that. There's people that used to always, when I was incarcerated, there was people that always, you know, talk big about Italians and the mob and stuff like that, because of course it's a corrupt area, you know what I mean? You're in jail. There's people, and I used to say, they put their pants on just like me. They're wearing khakis in here just like me. They got to get fed the same food that I eat, you know, for the most part. I mean, so you might have, but you know, they're men just like me. They breathe just like me. They bleed just like me. You know, I just, don't think you any better than myself, no matter how successful you are. Because the Bible tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know who I do credit with greatness? You know who I do credit with honor and with reverence and respect? My Lord Jesus. That's who I credit with honor, love, and respect. My Lord Jesus. And all those who are in Christ Jesus. And all those whom He would have me to love. So therefore, I don't put anyone... The Bible tells us not have respect to persons, but to love one another, humble ourselves one another, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law. That's what the Lord has taught me. That's what the Lord has told... You know, how He has carried me. I was reading about a minister, and this book that I read is called The One Thing That You Can't Do in Heaven. And of course, that's preach the gospel. And so the whole book is about preaching the gospel. And he had an opportunity to be flying on a plane with people like Charles Barkley, because he was a college basketball player with Charles Barkley, and Michael Jordan and stuff. And he wanted to reach Michael Jordan with the gospel terribly. Like, it was just urgent. You know, he had this urgency to want to get the gospel to Michael Jordan. Well, he finally did get the gospel to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan didn't want nothing to do with his gospel, didn't care nothing about him. His pride was involved, and you know, there was just, he just was very, you know, rejecting of the message. But there was another individual that was on the plane that did want to hear the gospel. And he got to hear the gospel, but he got to hear the gospel after Michael. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "What makes you think that that soul is any more important than that soul to me? Why'd you put such an urgency on his soul when I have just as much an urgency on his soul?" You see, God loves us all. Although Mike might be able to touch a lot of people with his life, if Mike doesn't want nothing to do with the gospel, God doesn't want nothing to do with Mike. See, that's how our God is a loving, He's a kind, He's long-suffering, He's very merciful. And He'll extend His hand of grace for a time. Even God's grace, He said, He told the children of Israel, He said, "Because I saw you, and you didn't, because I've called you and you didn't answer the call and you didn't come, then when your fear and calamity, when you call me, when your trouble arises, when you call me, I will not answer. I will not respond to that." He told his own people that. Because they rejected him. Because they didn't care for him. Because they didn't want nothing to do with him. We have a hope today, church. We have a hope that's able to drive us and motivate us. And because of that hope, we have a victory. Look in the book of 1 John. Chapter 5. God wants this hope to drive us. Remember, you have to have hope in order to have faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right? Faith actually functions as a result of your hope in something. So faith actually is motivated by hope. So the more you hope for something, the more you're motivated to exercise your faith. That's what it's saying, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's that which is manifest as a result of the hope. Because you hope, you act. Because you don't see it, but you hope in it, so you act on it. And because you act on it, it's manifest, it becomes physical. Tangible. People can touch it. People can see it. People can hear it. It's words that come out of people's mouths. It's actions that people commit in doing kindness and doing good things. Committed unto good works. A peculiar people committed unto good works. In the book of 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." The victory. The victory. "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So every one of you today, because you believe in the Son of God, because you believe Jesus Christ and you receive Him as your Lord and as your Savior, you have life in you. And because you have life in you, it should manifest itself as a result of the hope that you have, which is based on the resurrection. There's power in resurrection. There's an obvious power in resurrection, and it comes over top of death, over top of that which is temporal, over top of this natural, this physical. From the dust it came, to the dust it'll return. But God wants us to live beyond the temporal. God wants us to live beyond the natural. He wants us to live in the supernatural. He wants us to be like Him and call those things which be not as though they were. He wants us to live in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost and speak faith over people's lives. He wants us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He wants us to command deliverances. He wants to speak deliverance over people's lives. He wants us to speak prophetically over people's lives, words of life, words of encouragement, words of strength. So people stop believing the negativity that the enemy is filling them with. That they're never going to be anybody. That their life is hopeless. That all their hopes are dashed into pieces. That it's not going to become what they hoped it would. Because it's not set in this life alone. See? My circumstances change. It doesn't change my eternal position. It doesn't change who I am. I go broke, God forbid. It doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change where I'm going. It doesn't change the fact that Jesus Christ is still risen. I fall victim to an infirmity and struggle with an illness. It doesn't change who God is. It just gives me the opportunity to reach out by faith. It doesn't change the fact that resurrection power is still a part of my life. And that I have the ability to believe by faith and take hold of the promises that are in Christ Jesus. Yea and amen. It doesn't change the fact that resurrection power is still real and still true. God wants us to experience the resurrection power. He wants us to live as a people with hope. A people that have joy. A people that have peace. A people that have been freed from the bondages and the chains that Satan wants to bind us by. The woman at the well, hopes were probably dashed in pieces that she was ever going to find the right man. Right? She had five husbands, and the man that she was with was not her husband. She was probably giving up hope on that chase. And just said, it is what it is. And then Christ came along and met her where she was and spoke life into her. The demoniac who was cutting himself in the tombs, the man whose demons called, named themselves Legion, probably thought that his situation was hopeless. There was not a chance that he was ever going to get out of his situation. He was bound by the toughest of toughest. And then Jesus came along. And then Jesus came along, set the man free of every single one of those demons. Set that man up aright, clothed him in his right mind, dressed him, and sent him on his way back to his old neighborhood. Go, tell them what good things God has done for you. You know, the apostles probably thought that it was hopeless when they were in the midst of that water and the storm was all around them and everything's raging and Jesus asleep with his head resting. I don't even know what he was using for a pillow. Maybe some sort of garment or something, but it couldn't have been comfortable. I can't imagine sleeping in a boat that's tossing and toiling. My stomach, I don't know if I can handle that. Jesus was peace. He was rest. And if they would have known what he knew, they also would have been at peace with rest. But they said, Lord, careth not that we perish? Jesus got up. Paraphrase Chris's version. Unbelievable. You guys don't want to believe for nothing, do you? And he spoke unto the winds and they were in awe. He brought hope into their situation. He spoke hope into the situation. James and John and Peter, they're fishing all night. They're toiling all night. They cast their nets off. They don't catch nothing. There's no hope. They're not going to make no money. They don't have no food. They're struggling. All night they're toiling. They're cleaning their nets. They're probably grumbling. They're probably, man, been out here all night. Didn't catch nothing. Few little anorexic bass or something, you know. Uneventful night. Waste of time and effort. Jesus came along. He said, cast your nets off to the right side of the boat, to the side of the boat. They said, Lord, we've been toiling all night. We've been trying all night. But nevertheless, at thy word, they took in so many fish, they had to call their partner boat over to help them load it up. Jesus brought hope into the situation. If people are going to have hope, it's going to be because we bring Jesus to them. It's going to be because Jesus has become a part of their life. If people want hope, if we're going to provide hope, we got to provide the same hope that we have. That's Jesus. We give all kinds of answers and all kinds of, you know, to the problems, but you know, at the end of the day, it's Jesus. Jesus is your hope. Jesus is your promise. Jesus is going to be the one to make it happen in your life. You need Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for you. That's really what you need. Today, you need to accept Jesus. Man that I was talking about told me he was encouraged by my walk. He said, you know, I was walking right with the Lord, but I'm backslidden. He was like, and I still talk to him every day, but my walk is so far from it, and it's, I'm finding it so hard to get back. That's true. Backslider? That's true. It's very difficult to get back because the enemy is on you terribly. The feeling of condemnation that you walked away, the feeling that you gave up, that you're weak, that you'll never get it right, all kinds of enemy just, he's got all kinds of lip and words to say. But the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us. We confess our sins unto him, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And there's now therefore no condemnation to those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who are in Christ Jesus. So Christ didn't come to condemn us, and Christ didn't come to leave us in that condition we were in. Christ came to resurrect us and raise us up and give us newness of life, power in our walk, so that we can walk with courage, so that we can walk with strength, not bound by fear. I'm not bound by what tomorrow will think of itself. The Bible says sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. I have to think about today. I have to fight today's battle. And guess what? Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. And Jesus Christ, he's not going to leave me, nor is he going to forsake me. Whereas we got hope in friendships. We got hope in family. Well, if it doesn't work out, hopefully I'll just move in with my mom. And then mom says, no, sir. You're not coming back here. You better get yourself together. You're a grown man. You're 45 years old. I'll just give an example. Who knows? Scenarios are so vast and so, you know, there's so many scenarios, so many circumstances. We don't know, but our hope should not be in man. Our hope should be in God. If anybody's going to provide for our situation, it's going to be God. I tell people all the time, first and foremost, your focus should be on God. If your focus and first and foremost is on God, then your situation is bound to get better. It might not get better right now, but it's bound to get better. You might have to endure for a little while. You might have to have faith and trust and press through some things. But you have the hope of Jesus Christ in your life, who is risen, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you presently as we speak. You have hope. You have hope. The possibilities are numerous. There's no telling. And God doesn't need your help to do it, neither. God can do it all by himself. We all think that we got, once we come to Christ and then we just, you know, God gives us wisdom, we're going to figure it out. That's not faith at all. Sometimes faith just requires us to let go and let God do it. God, sometimes you got to open doors that I can't open for myself. Sometimes you got to make it happen where I don't think that it's possible that I can do it. Some, like me being able to minister the gospel. In and of myself, I have no reliance. But I trust and believe that as long as I commit my way unto the Lord, that he'll direct my path, that he'll establish my thoughts, that he'll provide the means to speak unto his people. Because that's it's him working in and through me unto his good pleasure. The same it'll be for you if you commit your way unto him. Him working in and through you unto his good pleasure, because it's his will for your life to be done a certain way. But we have to yield first. We have to give ourselves over first. We have to care first for him. We have to prioritize right. You know, yeah, good. Have fun. Watch the Super Bowl. But the Super Bowl, at the end of the day, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose, and it's going to be over. And then what? And then somebody's going to carry a Super Bowl ring for the next year until somebody defeats that and takes over. Until somebody else breaks the next record. Until somebody else does the next feat. Until somebody else does something else and makes more money. Some of these guys are making over $100 million, five-year contracts. Making a lot of money. What are they doing? God willing, I hope that they're doing something right with it. End of the day, we give an account. Every one of us will give an account for what we have and what we've been committed unto our trust. We have a hope today, church. And that hope will lead us all the way. God has not started a good work in you, that he is not prepared to commit all the way unto the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back, church. One more thing before we close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Lord, just put this on my heart to read before we go. And I was remembering this. I'm going to get there. Chapter 4 first. chapter 4, verse 13. Look at what it says. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Their hope were dashed at the grave. Everything came to a grinding halt. It could go no further. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Hope. There's your hope. Huh? Hallelujah. There's your hope, church. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Your situation is not going to stay like this. Jesus knows the situation that you're in. God is prepared to bring you out of your situation if you're prepared to trust Him. God is prepared to heal. God is prepared to deliver. God is prepared to provide. He has it. It's His to do with what He will. Hallelujah. Church, we should be excited. If anybody should be excited, church, we should be excited. We should be motivated. We should be driven by this hope, and we should look forward to it. We should allow this hope that is in us to manifest itself by our faith, the substance of things hoped for. We should move in faith by these things, speaking into people's lives. We should move in faith, bringing the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, to all those who believe. Moving by faith that God is going to do something. What? I don't know. Something. He's going to do something in that life. But first he has to hear. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. First he has to hear. So that's what I bring him. What he needs to hear. That's what I provide for him. What he needs to hear. Where we are today because of what we heard. And now today we have hope. Hallelujah. Church, I pray you have hope today. I pray that hope is motivating you and driving you out of this building and into the streets to do whatsoever God would have you to do. I pray that you would yield your time, that you would give yourself over to some time, spending time reading, quality time praying, communicating with God, so that God can tell you the person that you're supposed to be, so that God can instruct you and direct your paths in the way that you should go, so that we can be effective in ministry together, so we can rejoice together, so that when we come together and praise and worship God, and this is not to discourage anybody, but you guys got to get up and praise God more. You guys got to be motivated in the presence of God more. Be like, as they say, hyped up. I'm going to church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going, brothers and sisters, we're fighting the fight, good fight of faith. We're fighting the battle. We got to be motivated. We got to be driven. Come in here. Hallelujah. Not just for show, because you love God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Almighty God. Not so reserved and worried about what everybody thinks if you do something out of the ordinary. That's irrelevant. God's looking at you. More importantly, God's looking at you and he's like, wow, that's all you got for me? I ain't picking on nobody. Praise God. That's how big our God is. Don't forget the picture, how big he is, how little we are, but how important he made us to be. He's made you to be very important in his eyes. He created you in his likeness and in his image to live with fullness of life in this present day and to prepare you for a place, a kingdom, hallelujah, that you shall inherit for eternity. You have something great to look forward to, church. If you need anything from the Lord, I pray that you would come up. I pray that we could pray for you. I pray that you would believe God. I pray that the hope that Jesus Christ has raised from the dead would give you enough hope to move in your situation. In your circumstance, I pray that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want that hope, that you would come forth and believe God for salvation and receive the hope of glory in your life and Christ in you. Believe Him by faith and receive Him by faith. Who is able to change your circumstances like nobody else can? And not just change them for now, but change them forever. Who is able to lift the burden off of your back and give you peace? Who is able to relieve you of the stresses of this everyday hardship in life that Satan would have you to toil and to wrestle with. God wants us to be free. He wants you to be free. If you're bound by something and you seem, it feels so difficult to let go of, come up. Let us pray together. Let us believe God for strength to get rid of that thing in your life. Don't be ashamed of Christ and don't be ashamed of what's in your life. Because we all got battles. I had to spend many a times at the altar. I spent many a days asking the elders to pray for me. I'm not ashamed today to ask the church to pray for me if I'm going through something, struggling. We should never be ashamed to need the support of prayer for one another. We should never be ashamed. The enemy makes us feel that way. Embarrassment. That's not of God. That embarrassment, that's not of God. That's the enemy wanting you to feel bound and just stay seated. That's our pride. Why do you get embarrassed? Because of our pride. Pride doesn't want us to look any certain way in man's eyes. Let me tell you, don't care what anybody else thinks or feels about you. Care what God thinks and feels about you. And know what you have to say. Know what you're searching after. Know what you're chasing after. And just go get it. If it requires you to come up to the altar to get it, come get it. Don't let it sit there back there and not. And if you feel like you can get it right there, then get it right there. Cry out to God. Because I believe with you. You don't have to come up here. I'm not here to make anybody feel embarrassed. Call anybody out. But I do believe that when Christ was present, and the Bible says that the Spirit was there to heal all that would come forth, I believe presently the Spirit of God is here to heal any that would come forth, to deliver any that would come forth, to save any that would come forth. His arm, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 60, is not too short that it cannot save. He's still in the saving business. His ear is not too dull that he cannot hear. He hears your cries, church. Believe him. Believe him today. Make a confession of faith today. Trust him today. Hallelujah. 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 We bless your name, Almighty God. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Father. We give you praise and we give you honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I give you thanks for everybody that's in this room, Father, and everything that you're doing. And I thank you, Father God, for the plans that you have for us, thoughts of good and not of evil to bring us to an expected end. I thank you for the hope, Father God, that each and every man and woman and child in here has because of Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. We give you praise, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Just worship the Lord, church. While we're praying for one another, anybody that wants to come up that feels like they need something, just worship the Lord. Just honor the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving. Just worship the Lord for a few moments.